Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of Power Up and Game. I am your host, Michael, and I am joined today, of course, by Taylor. Taylor, how's it going, buddy?
I am doing pretty damn good, man. You are kind of, at the time of this recording, you're kind of doing multiple things. You're being very productive here. You want to tell the audience what you're doing while you're recording this episode, and being the host, might I add.
So you say I'm being productive. I'm actually kind of being the opposite of productive. But yes, actually, while we're recording this, I am trying to get my first game in of Warzone 2.0. I wanted to play it last night, but unfortunately that did not happen. I wanted to do it around midnight when it launched. But like you said to me earlier, you weren't too sure you were going to be able to get in. And I was like, well, I might as well save it for tomorrow. And I ended up getting busy with other stuff. I had a meeting that ended up happening right before we started recording. I had an appointment to keep up with this morning, right around noon. So I'm just now getting to Warzone. And I just played a round of DMZ. I'm now doing Unhinged Battle Royale. So I'm going to be doing that while we're recording. And I'm going to try to keep it as professional as possible.
Hey, it's multitasking. And also, I don't... Now, I might be wrong on this, because I didn't look this up. But I thought Warzone 2.0 launched at 1 p.m. today.
Did it? Oh, in that case, I would have been wasting my time.
That's what I was saying. Like, you were good either way. I might be wrong on that. I don't know. But we're recording this on November 16th. So...
Right on launch.
Yeah, right on launch. So either way, I think you were good. When you were trying to play it, hopefully you get a W. If you get a W while we're recording this, while you're being the host, that's a
that'd be legit.
No, that'd be really cool. That's pretty impressive.
So my team just lost. We hit 28th place, but I did win the gulag, so that was actually pretty cool. And we'll talk about that later on. I was caught off guard by how cool the gulag was. But while I am doing all of that and Taylor laughs at me for multitasking, how about we go ahead and get into what's in our docket for today? This is going to be a much shorter episode today because, well, we're kind of splitting our show today into two separate episodes. This episode is going to have our usual content. After we wrap up, we'll record another episode sharing 11 games or game franchises that everyone should be thankful for. Basically, we'll be picking games or franchises that we think had a massive and positive impact on the game industry. At the time of this recording, Warzone 2.0 is just going live, and we'll talk about our hopes for the Battle Royale and the absolutely ridiculous file sizes for the game. Rockstar reportedly turned down a GTA movie starring Eminem, and we'll end the show on a somber note by talking about the passing of a legendary voice actor, Kevin Conroy. But before we get into those topics, Taylor, take it away with our main topic for today.
Don't mind if I do. And real quick, we want to say that you can find sources for all the topics we're going over today down in the description of this episode. We do that to give out proper credit, and if any listeners want to read further about the topics we cover or simply want to check it out for themselves. Getting into our main topic today. So at the time of this recording, like we said before, Warzone 2.0 has just gone live alongside Modern Warfare 2's Escape from Tarkov style mode called DMC. Warzone 2.0 is adding some interesting features such as interrogation, a new Gulag 2v2 system, and more. Michael, you're currently playing Warzone 2.0 while we're recording this episode. I don't know how you're doing right now, so I guess here's my questions to you. How are you enjoying Warzone 2, and are you getting W's?
Well, I did DMV, at least one game. I did one game of DMV, and that was, it started off fun. I'm not gonna lie, it started off fun. Me and
are you calling it DMV random, because it's boring?
This is a boring mode. But yes, that mode. I know I'm pronouncing the name wrong. It's three letters, and I still can't get it right.
DMZ. But at the same time, it worked.
DMV. Yeah, it was all the same. But yeah, I've been trying to play it. I played one game before we started recording, And it started off cool because everybody's moving tactically. You know, we were all doing our thing. And I was like, oh my goodness, I actually have teammates that are playing, you know, like they're actually moving tactically. They're trying not to get sniped. It was really cool. Until we noticed and realized that, yeah, there's nothing going on in this world. It's empty. Like, I know they want us to work together, but really, you can run this solo. We ran into some AI, which at first was kind of cool, because like, okay, we can move tactically, everybody can separate, everybody could like pick off the AI. And supposedly there's supposed to be other real players there. And we were looking forward to that, and why we were moving so silently, because, you know, players will pick that up in an instant if you're another player. And so we were like, this is really cool. We were like checking corners, slowly open doors, checking corners, slowly opening doors, checking more corners. Like, we were moving slow. We were like really planning to play tactically until we realized there's no other players here. We were duped. So that mode, as of right now, you know, it is day one, so maybe more people get into it later on. But for the mode right now, is a dud to me. I don't really care for it. It's a cool idea, but it feels kind of half baked. Like, they were doing it because they had a checkboard that was like, hey, we need this many modes. Let's try to figure something out. Or somebody was a fan of Scape. And you're like, hey, what if Call of Duty did this? And they didn't have enough time to fully implement it. And it's just, I don't know, it feels half-assed to me.
What did you think of Warzone?
Warzone is actually kind of fun. And by kind of, I mean hella fun. It's actually, right now I'm playing the third-person view mode, which I'm really loving, surprisingly enough.
Yeah, I feel like Warzone in third-person is really damn fun to play.
Yeah, this is really cool. I'm doing duos right now. My partner got knocked and he decided that he wasn't going to help me anymore. So, oh, she just got a purple armor. Yeah, I'm screwed. But yeah, my partner decided that he wasn't going to wait for me to try to revive him, and he just ghosted on me. So now I'm soloing. And I'm doing all right, actually. I got 3 kills. There's 21 teams left, 42 players. And I am outside the safe zone. Crap. And I'm actually kind of holding my own right now, which is a lot better than when I was playing back in 2019-2020 Warzone, where I would get stomped in an instant.
Yeah, I played one match of Warzone 2.0. I died. I got one or two kills and I died. Then I went to the gulag and I died again. It was a lot of fun, though. I don't have a great impression on the map. I doubt it could be worse than Caldera. Caldera was the map that kind of lost me with Warzone. And I think I don't think that's really a shot at Warzone. I think Vanguard was just the final nail in the coffin for Warzone 1.0 for me. Just, I could not get into anything Call of Duty Vanguard related. I just couldn't. And Black Ops Cold War, it was a little hard to get into it. Even though I actually kind of enjoyed that game a bit. So I think the biggest concern going like long term for Warzone is going to be how you integrate future games with it. But considering that this game was made with Modern Warfare 2 in mind, I think right now it's definitely going to be the golden era for Warzone 2. Is going to be this era with Modern Warfare 2, and I think it's really going to work out. I love the new gulag. Like, you were talking to me before we recorded about the gulag and how it's now a 2v2 system, and there's a jailer who I believe pops up in the middle of it who has like a juggernaut suit on, and you can either just continue and try to kill the other team, or all four of you can try to take out the juggernaut, and if you take out the juggernaut, then all four of you go back. So that's really fucking cool. That's very damn unique, in my opinion. I like a lot of the different, it's not just, oh, here's a loot box here. I saw on a wall there was like a medical first aid kit. And you can actually go into the first aid kit and actually pick things up individually. the map was pretty good from what I played through. So I really enjoyed it so far. I haven't gotten to anything like interrogations yet, but that seems pretty cool too. Overall, man, I think this is going to be really good for long-term Call of Duty.
Yeah, I do too, until we start getting like Black Ops and involved in it.
Like I said, it depends on the integration. Yeah. You hope they learned their lesson from the last time. Considering that Warzone 2 is still on Modern Warfare 2, like Modern Warfare and Warzone 1, that's not promising, but I was really hoping it'd just be a standalone game, but I don't know. Hopefully they learned their lesson with integration and they can have it be much smoother. And it does seem like we're going to have, 2 years before we really have to worry about that, so.
Yeah, shit, I'm getting double teamed. Yep, I'm screwed. And the gas is coming in. Yeah, the integration is going to be the fucking worst. I don't care what anybody says, it's going to be the worst, in my opinion. Can I get my water and not die?
Nope.
Ooh, knocked him down. Anyway, yeah, the integration is going to be the fucking worst to me, because I don't think Activision Blizzard has learned their lesson. I don't think they will. Shit, I'm out. Anyway, I don't think they will learn their lesson.
Michael takes an L, he decides, I don't think they learned their lesson at all.
Yeah, I'm placed 14th, so
bullying on that. Hey, getting better every game.
Yeah, like I said, my buddy left me. I know, I was high and dry. Oh, they recruited somebody else? There's three of them? Shit. Anyway, this integration is going to be the worst, because I don't think Activision Blizzard has learned their lesson. Because that UI is still shit, and the XP system I don't really care for, but I will give them this. The whole perk system doesn't really go into play when it comes to Warzone, so good on them for that. You can still unlock the same guns that you would probably get from the regular multiplayer. So I'm glad, since I didn't pick up Modern Warfare 2 yet, I'm glad that I have the chance to level up these same weapons that everybody else gets who played the regular multiplayer, even though I get to start a little late because Warzone came out weeks after the regular game came out. So you get to play catch up, and I'm okay with that. But I don't think Activision Blizzard learned their lesson. They're going to take a year off, which is cool. I'm glad. And I already know that year is going to be spent focusing on Warzone. What I'm afraid of is who else is involved with Warzone 2.0. Like, is Sledgehammer going to be involved in that?
Raven Software, I think, gets too much flack for Warzone and what happened there. You got to take in, like, to me, I think you got to take into account, like, the different eras, the different tones, the different aspects of everything with Modern Warfare 2019. With Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War and Vanguard.
It's short end of the stick.
Yeah, it's, to me, you basically threw everything at them and was like, alright, you fix it now. And you make this battle royale as fun and as entertaining as possible. Then you have to also balance things out and also have some meta weapons that people will make content off of, and then they could talk about our game and it could be on Twitch and all that stuff. It's asking a lot, and I think people crap on Raven Software too much for pretty much being the one to get yelled at saying your game sucks.
Yeah, no, I put that on Activision, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I put that on Activision because I know that's where it went wrong. It's because they tried to do the integration with three different studios that had three different games. I think Modern Warfare had its own engine. If I'm not mistaken,
Modern Warfare had its own engine, and then the other two games, I think Vanguard ran on the same engine. I think.
Oh,
I didn't play it, so please correct me if I'm wrong, anybody listening. But Black Ops Cold War ran on a different one, and so they had to integrate all the guns, all the operators, all that into the Modern Warfare engine, and put that into Warzone, because Warzone ran off of that. So, Warzone 2 and Modern Warfare 2, it seems like that's going to be doing the same thing, unless Treyarch's going to be running off that engine and any other future Call of Duties. Hopefully, and this is where I go, hopefully you learn your lesson, hopefully Treyarch's Call of Duty runs on the same fucking engine.
Yeah, and like I said, I don't think so. Because they're really comfortable with their engine. And I think what they should do with that extra year off, they should look at what they can do to improve that engine. Because, hey, if they can do stuff on that engine that, you know, they just couldn't do with the Modern Warfare engine, I'm all for it. I'm all for everybody using the engine that their team knows well so they can continue to push themselves. You see what they did with Modern Warfare, Modern Warfare 2's new engine? The way they were able to push everything is so amazing. And I want to see Treyarch do stuff like that. I want to see them. I want to see Black Ops, because I'm pretty sure it's the Black Ops engine. I'm not really sure. But I would like to see Black Ops engine get pushed beyond anything else.
Yeah, I do think, and this is me just being the optimist here, I think the developers are going to learn as they go, especially with this new generation, with the new games coming out, with having hopefully a break in 2023 to just work on both Modern Warfare 2 and Warzone, making that as good as possible. And hopefully that really opens the door for some more communication and more, like, all right, what's Treyarch working on? What do we need to do to put their content into Warzone and make this smoother than what it was last time? Because it was not smooth in Warzone 1, even though it got worse somehow from Black Ops Cold War to Vanguard. But that's what I'm saying.
It was really weird.
That was a weird long-ass tangent we went on about, like, Warzone overall and stuff like that. But Warzone 2, I think both of us talked about already. We think it's really good right now. We've only played a few games. Hopefully, it continues to be really good, and we continue to like the game throughout the next few years, because I don't think we're going to be getting Warzone 3 for quite some time.
Thank goodness. I don't want any huge updates like we saw with Vanguard and the like. I would like for them to kind of slow down. That's my only problem with live service games. I think they do tend to take it a little too far with the updates.
You want to balance with it. You don't want it to be like two little updates to where you think while you're playing it, you're like, is this game dead? Do developers care anymore? Or too many updates to where you're like, I don't remember what I was doing the last time I was on this game. What's going on anymore? Who are these characters? Why is this cutscene happening? And for like Battle Royales, it's a lot easier than something like a Destiny 2. But I still get what you're saying, you know?
So you're still doing that, huh?
No, I haven't played Destiny 2 in a few months. But I've heard that it's not doing as well. Hopefully they can get back on track.
Well, it went to free to play, so I'm sure there's new life in it.
I think the season aspects, people are getting a little tired of it. Mm. The seasonal events and stuff like that, I think that's what people are like, well, what the fuck are we doing here? Like, we need a bigger update than this.
Went from saving the world and trying to figure out what's going on to whatever the shit they're doing now.
Yeah, so I don't know. Hopefully Destiny 2 can figure it out. That's a weird tangent that we made there, but hopefully Warzone 2 won't end up being like Warzone 1 at the end of its development cycle.
Yeah,
even though that was still wildly successful. I'm just saying in terms of quality. But let's go ahead and move on to our next story, which is Rockstar reportedly turning down a GTA movie starring Eminem. While speaking to the Bugsy Malone's Grandest Game podcast. God, that's amazing. That is an amazing name for a podcast. Game industry veteran and agent Kurt Ewing revealed that there were conversations between Ewing and former Rockstar head Sam Houser about a potential Grand Theft Auto film. Here's what Ewing had to say on the Bugsy Malone's Grandest Game podcast. And props to VGC for transcribing all of this. The link to their article is in the description. Quote, because of the relationship I had with Rockstar and I had with Sam, I actually tracked him down to his hotel room one night where I knew he was going to be staying for a while, and the two of us stayed up late and talked about the possibility of making a film. End quote. According to Ewing, this was after GTA 3, and Sam Houser was apparently open to the idea around that time. Ewing continued, saying that a producer in L.A. had an offer on the table to develop a movie with Eminem attached to star and Top Gun director Tony Scott heading it up. Ewing called up Sam Houser to see if he was interested. Quote, "And I, Ewing, phoned up Sam and said, look, you need to listen to this. They want Eminem in the Grand Theft Auto movie and Tony Scott to direct. And he said, not interested. At that point, they withdrew any conversation about making a film when they realized that the media franchise that they had was bigger than any movie that was going on at the time," end quote. Ideas for a GTA movie have been casually tossed around by gamers for years. First off, what are your thoughts on this story? Also, do you think a GTA movie could work?
First off, I'm kind of glad they didn't go through. Because, look, I like Eminem. I think the guy is awesome. He's a great artist and whatnot. But
this was off to the heels of 8 Mile, wasn't it?
See, that's what I'm saying. Like, he does great with that, but I wouldn't really see Eminem in Grand Theft Auto. Plus, what would be the big draw? Like, what made Grand Theft Auto so great was the gameplay and the characters. Hollywood, it wouldn't have been that way. I already know it. They would have just made him another run-of-the-mill gangster. And I don't know. It wouldn't feel like Grand Theft Auto. It wouldn't feel like it's something that was written with passion, in my opinion. Because once you have something as popular as a video game franchise, Hollywood doesn't really take it that serious. And they're not going to really stick with what made it work. And again, Grand Theft Auto is just another gangster. I don't think it would work, so I'm kind of glad it didn't go through with it.
I find this one interesting, though, because I do think this was coming off the heels of 8 Mile. And also, in terms of Eminem stuff, if I remember correctly, do you remember that movie Southpaw?
Yeah, starring Jake Gyllenhaal. He was supposed to be in that movie.
Yeah, but, well, I think he was supposed to be a star, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And he just ended up doing the soundtrack afterward.
Yeah, I think he got busy with something else. He ended up just like having a big part in the soundtrack.
So it reminded me of that whenever you were talking about, like, yeah, he did great in 8 Mile. I was like, wasn't he in anything? He was supposed to be in South. So, yeah.
He's done, like, small stuff. Like, he's,
The thing is
he's done, like, side characters.
From the stuff he's in, he's actually been pretty solid. Like, I'm not going out there and being like, oh, he's like Leonardo DiCaprio or Denzel Washington or anything. But he has been pretty damn solid, and 8 Mile was a damn good movie. So I don't know how he would have done in a GTA movie. I think he would have done pretty good, I would say. But with also Tony Scott directing from Top Gun, that's interesting. I'm like, well, all right, that's not the name I expected. So those two names have me intrigued for what could have been. I do kind of agree with you. Just how would you have made it feel like it was, I don't want to say necessary, because I don't.
Well, if it was happening, I would want to get someone like Martin Scorsese. Okay, I would want
you that serious? No, I wouldn't have went that serious. Because the thing about GTA is it's a little bit of a parody of
it is everything. It's a parody. Yeah, it's a parody of the Americano, the American Dream, and all that. And I think Scorsese would do a great job with a story like that. You know, look at Nico. Nico, he was a bit of a serious character. You know, he talked about how war affected him and the youth.
That was the most serious I felt like GTA really ever was in GTA 4.
Yeah, and I really like Nico. I think Nico is one of those memorable characters because he had this tone to where, like, yeah, I'm doing bad things, but, you know, I know I'm not a good person, but I'm trying to do well. I'm trying to, like, live this American dream or whatever that's supposed to be. And you realize the American dream isn't as clean as you might think it is. And I think Scorsese's, I think he would do well with a story like that and with a character like that. We've seen that you can have a serious GTA character.
You're right. I think you'd be right with that, but then you got to think about the time that this would have came out, which is after
that's the thing, yeah.
And you're like, oh, okay, so that's before. Okay, what exactly would this have been and what kind of tone, what kind of genre. Because people always talk about, like, what would be, we talk about it too, what would be a good video game to movie adaptation. And you see so many things tossed around. Metal Gear is getting developed. Tomb Raider's had a few chances. People going, won't they make a Call of Duty movie?
You mean any military movie you've ever seen? Yeah, okay.
Why don't they make a Gears of War movie? Well, Netflix has finally apparently decided to make it. We'll see. Hopefully it gets made. But GTA, what would that have looked like? See, you can kind of get a feel for what all those games I listed could be. Tomb Raiders, yeah. Resident Evils, even Call of Duty. Like, Call of Duty has Task Force 141. Like, you can lead off of those characters and be like, we're going to have a movie with Price and Soap and Ghost and all those characters. What would have GTA have looked like? Would it have been an adaptation of the game? Would it have been just them doing their own thing, calling it GTA?
I think it would have been their own thing.
And that, I wonder if that would have been the better call. You know, so I don't know if that would work as a movie, but at the same time, those two names attached to it did have me intrigued when I was reading about this story. I was like, that's a pair. That is certainly a pair. I don't know if that would have been a good or bad pair for this movie, but I kind of wanted to see it now.
We were doing so well. My pilot crashed into a pole.
Damn. Yeah. Well, but yeah, have you come close to a W yet while we played?
Just that one game where I came in 14th place.
Yeah. Well,
I'm trying to do trios now, which means I'm relying even more on other people.
Well, Michael, I'm gonna ask you though for this last story to go ahead, put the controller down. We gotta give this next story some respect here because we're ending this show on a somber note. It's a downer, and we're going to be talking about the passing of Kevin Conroy. So if you're listening to this podcast, or a podcast like ours, you've probably already heard about this story. Kevin Conroy, the iconic voice actor, best known for voicing Batman across various movies, television shows, and video games, has passed away at the age of 66. I believe they said it was after a short battle with cancer. Michael, since we are both two people who grew up with Batman the Animated Series and the DCAU, I think we probably have a lot of things to say regarding our thoughts on Kevin Conroy's legacy playing the Dark Knight and just how much we both probably think his Batman is just so memorable, and we'll probably remember that for a long time.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, if you have anything to say on that, feel free to start there. But I also just wanted to ask you, and to kind of, I guess, end the show while talking about a very shitty topic by talking about some positive things about it. I want to ask you what your favorite Kevin Conroy Batman movie or performance was. And that could be games, movies, shows. It's up to you. So I'm going to just give you the floor. Feel free to start wherever.
Definitely Batman Animated Series. I've said it since I was a kid. I'll say it right now, even before Mr. Conroy's passing. He played the best Batman. I know I give praise to other Batman. Like, I know, like, they had some cool stuff. But Izzy, the Animated Series Batman, in my opinion, is the Batman. Like, that's the Batman that I know and love and really like. I like Batman, Dark Knight and Dark Knight Rising. You know, I thought that stuff was cool. The Batman was absolutely amazing to me. But for some reason, the animated Batman just stuck with me because he felt like the most Batman. And I guess it's because I was just a kid. But, you know, he was a detective. He actually cared about people. He wasn't just going around for revenge like in the movie. Like he actually had purpose. He wanted to protect Gotham. You know, he talked a little game every now and again, but for me,
that's one thing about Conroy's Batman that I always loved. Now I think is a little underrated. Is Conroy's Batman had a little bit of snarky comedy to him, and it was just really good.
Yeah, like it could get dark, but it wasn't like, oh man, look how edgy we are, kind of dark. Instead, it was more of, Hey, for a kid show, this is a little more mature than I thought it would go. And I always loved it for that. Because as a kid, yeah, I didn't understand most of it. But as an adult, like watching it and like seeing Batman care for the villains and like seeing people actually lives actually affected by some of the stuff that happens. The point to where I believe in one episode, Batman actually had to save someone from their own mental instability, and it was just absolutely amazing. And yeah, so Kevin Conroy played the best Batman in my opinion. And like you said, like we grew up with it, so like so of course for us that was the Batman. Yeah. Like, well, in the comics, yeah, I don't care. Animated Batman is the Batman.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Kevin Conroy is. It's going to be cliche. You're going to hear from so many people who talked about like what Kevin Conroy's performances as Batman and what he left behind with that role and like the impact he had on kids who watch the animated series and stuff. But the only thing that I can keep coming up with is just iconic. Like it is. Like when I think of an animated project with Batman in it, the first thing I think about is I hope Kevin Conroy is voicing Batman. Like I was telling you, there's a level of smarky comedy he puts into his performance. There was a level of just
confidence, man.
He just it's so just cool. A confidence that wasn't too much to where the character felt like he was unlikable. And he just nailed it. Like exactly what I think many people picture Batman to be, he nailed it to a T. And I think about best performances, and I'm like, okay, the animated series, Michael, you already mentioned that. Yeah, the DCAU as well, I think that's something very similar, so I don't want to mention that. I'm trying to think. I'm like, the Arkham games are fucking amazing. Like, he does such a great job there. He's in Injustice as well as Batman.
That's the thing. Kevin Conroy, like, I know, yeah, it's kind of cliche, but he is Batman, you know? Like, that's for the 90 kids, he's Batman, you know? He's just the guy that you like, hey, who's your favorite Batman? Kevin Conroy. Live action. No, I don't care. Kevin Conroy.
One thing I loved was in the Arrowverse, they had Crisis on Infinite Earths, and Kevin Conroy played a version of Bruce Wayne in that, in live action. Which I fucking love. I love how he finally got the opportunity to
play live action Bruce.
Yeah. Now, granted, the version of Bruce Wayne he played, it kind of sucks because he played a murderous version of Bruce Wayne.
Oh wait, isn't that the father? Isn't that his father?
No, that was a version of Bruce who kind of went crazy and was killing people.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I know there's a version of Batman where Bruce dies.
And, yeah, Thomas Wayne, as in Flashpoint. Thomas,
yeah, he becomes Batman.
It wasn't that one, but still, even with all that, there's seeing Kevin Conroy get to play a live-action Bruce Wayne, it brings a smile to your face because it's you hear the voice so long and you finally get to put the man's face to the voice, and it's so good, man. It's not his best performance, though. I think that is the many, many movies, the many... I don't think there's a bad Kevin Conroy performance, to be honest with you, with Batman.
The guy's just so awesome at it.
I know. Like, dude nails everything. I think the only thing that anybody can say anything possibly bad about with a movie with Kevin Conroy would possibly be, I think he was in The Killing Joke, that movie. I think Mark Hamill was, too.
Yeah.
So I think that might be the one movie that isn't the best, but...
No, I heard people talk about that one only because the writing was kind of shit.
Yeah, that's not in performances-wise. That's just because the writing was crap, and they made Batman and Batgirl a thing, and that's just... Everybody was like, awful. No, that's really weird. Please don't ever do that again. So it's just... He really was the voice of Batman. It does sound cliche for us to say, but at the same time, is just true for us. What he did in that role. I'm thinking of Batman Beyond, too. Him playing old man Bruce.
Who's still awesome.
It's making me want to go back and watch all those movies now, just talking about it. So, I just thoughts out to his family around this time, and it's just, it really sucks to hear. Especially at 66 and cancer. Fuck cancer.
Yeah.
Anything to say before we wrap up?
All Rest in peace, Kevin Conroy. Condolences to his family, his friends who knew him personally and have to live through this. We're just fans.
Yeah.
And yeah, that made us sad. But for them, condolences to them.
All right, let's go ahead and try to move on to our final few segments here. Let's talk about what we're playing, and then we'll get out of here. Michael, what you playing? Other than Warzone 2.
I was going to say, I'm playing this little indie game called Modern Warfare Warzone 2.0. You might not have heard about it. It's kind of cool. It's free to play, so you have no excuse not to play it unless you just don't like Call of Duty, which I don't blame you, because at one point in time, I too was Call of Duty out. But yes, that is what I am playing. I'm also playing Overwatch 2. I'm still doing that on stream, so that's kind of fun. What about you, Taylor? What are you playing?
I am still playing Cyberpunk 2077. Still playing through it. I'm enjoying it way more than I have in the past. I still stand by what I was saying about the third person thing. Like, there's still moments to where, well, what's kind of weird, like, I get why, but there's still just certain ticks about the game that are weird. Like, if you're wearing a long sleeve shirt or a jacket or anything like that, and you can't have gloves or jewelry on because you have implants in your arms and stuff. So, right. Always in cutscenes, your character has rolled up a jacket on or something like that. And you hit start and your person looks normal. And it's just, it's weird. I don't know how to really explain it.
No, it takes you out. It's brisk immersion.
Yeah. So, that sucks. See, that part of it, I feel like for all the talk they had when they were coming out with a game about their character creation, it still didn't feel like they went all in with the character creation, and that's kind of unfortunate. But there are a lot of things I really like about the game, including Johnny Silverhand. He's a piece of shit, but damn, Keanu Reeves is so good in the role.
That guy's just, man.
And he kind of, like, he warms up to you in a way. He starts out as this guy who's like, I'm gonna kill you, and I'm gonna take over this body. And then about, like, midway through the game, and you're kind of seeing, like, this destructive behavior of, like, what actually happened to him and why he's on this vengeance path. And it doesn't excuse the behavior, but you understand it a bit more. And plus, at the same time, Johnny's like, you know what, man? I did go about this the wrong way. I see that what I'm doing to you is what I hated about Arasaka, and I'm not going to be that. So I love that storyline for Johnny, and what I hope is a character arc for him to grow.
That's what you got?
That's what I took from it. I took from it more so as...
No, I'm saying that's what you got with Johnny. I got him as an asshole the whole way through. Like, he never stopped trying to take over my body.
That's weird. Like, he tells, at the very beginning, he's like, I'm going to take over the body. And then throughout the game, it's more so about, I'm trying to help you now, and, like, you can push back and take omega blockers and stuff like that to get them away, but you can also ease up to it and learn more about his character and stuff like that throughout.
Yeah, my Johnny's just a straight-up asshole.
Yeah, so, I mean, he still is an asshole throughout, but point.
My Johnny was like, yo, bro, you suck at this. How about you go ahead and just let me take over?
But I'm still really enjoying it. The thing is I know it's meaningless, but every time I play through a playthrough and I'm like, okay, what if I took the other life path though? How would I do this situation?
I still want to take the nomad path.
I actually went back and did that. So I'm exactly where I was before. I had to replay through the entire beginning, but a lot of side missions, a lot of stuff. I got exactly where I was before. I was a corpo, now I'm doing the nomad path. And I think I'm enjoying that one a little more. I feel like that's more thematically appropriate with the story they were telling. That's the other thing too. It's like not only the immersion breaking stuff, like I think the first person and the whole sleeves thing, but also just it's a game that tries to tell you that your decisions matter. And in some cases they do, but not in a lot of the cases they claim it does. You know? Like, at the beginning of the game where they're planning out the heist, you have two characters, Dex and Evelyn. Evelyn asks you to basically cut Dex out of the deal. Dex is the fixer. And you could either be honorable and be like, no, I'm not doing it. Or you can say, yeah, let's do it. Let's cut him out of this. And then you can tell Dex that Evelyn was trying to cut him out of the deal, which all that does is increase your pay cut. But the thing is it never matters because, spoilers for the two-year-old game, and this is the prologue of the two-year-old game, the heist doesn't go well, and Dex betrays you either way, and you never receive the money. So those decisions that you're making don't fucking matter. And it's like that a lot.
Yeah, I think they mentioned before that so much of the story got cut in order to meet the deadline. So maybe that's one of the things that just, they probably had a bigger plan for that. Like, oh, this person will come back and this will haunt you or whatever. Like with the cops. The cops, you're supposed to be able to bribe the police and shit. That never happened. But there was so much they had to cut out. So yeah, hearing that, I didn't even realize that. Hearing that is really kind of disheartening.
Yeah, it's still a really good game though. That's the thing. Like even with its faults that I see there, and it, to me, it's like a game that I'm like, this is really good. But damn, if it didn't get rushed out, this could have been one of the best games I ever played.
Yeah, it got screwed over.
It just, I'm hoping, because they talk about, like, CD Projekt Red's talked about doing a sequel, and Edgerunners, the anime, was so successful. I'm hoping if they do a sequel, God, give them enough time. Just give them enough fucking time to do whatever the hell they want.
Well, yeah, they're working on the expansion, which they recently announced. It was going to be a paid expansion, just like with The Witcher 3. So they want to do like Witcher 3 level expansions. And if anybody played the expansion for Witcher 3, those things were massive. Those weren't just something you finish in 10 minutes or whatever. Like these were full blown expansions. But they said, I'm pretty sure they said that's what they wanted to go with the next game. So we'll see how that affects them. Because like you said, that short amount of time that they had at first really screwed the pooch. It really like made the game bad. But it seems like maybe the expansions will give them some more time and will give them the practice that they need for the sequels. But we'll see.
So what you working on, Michael? Where can people find you?
I just finished an interview with Yacht Club Games with Miss Celia. That was fun. It was about a 20-minute conversation, and I would love to have done more, but unfortunately, that was impossible for me to do at this time. So I am working on that. That is going to be coming up real soon, whether it's on this podcast or I put it on Bagel Games, as yet to be decided. But I am working on that. I am also just finished up another video where I talk about Overwatch 2. I just did a little guide on tanks. For this one, I put out a guide for Junker Queen. I'm actually pretty decent with the Queen, so I felt confident. Gosh darn it. So I felt confident in making a video about her. So you can check out my YouTube about that.
If you enjoyed this podcast at all, be sure to join our Discord community, the link for which is in the description of this very episode. You can talk with us about your thoughts on Call of Duty Warzone 2.0. Also, consider leaving us a rating. It would also be tremendous if it was a positive rating. If you want more from the Nerd Stash Network, you may also like our movie/TV podcast called Nerds Talk Movies. On that podcast, our crew of experts take a deeper look into beloved movies and television shows via retrospectives and spoiler talks. On the next episode of Nerds Talk Movies, Drew and Tristan are going to be talking about Black Panther Wakanda Forever. Thankfully, I'm going to be editing that episode on Monday, when the episode's going to go out on Monday as well, and I will have seen the movie by then. So I'm trying to avoid editing that episode until I can see the movie.
No, that's fair. I haven't seen the movie yet either. I've been a bit busy. But yeah,
I've heard good things.
I heard it's good, yeah. My baby brother went and saw it, and he said it's not as good as the first one, but it's still pretty good. Still pretty amazing.
Yeah, I've heard similar. I've heard a lot of it's not as good as the first one, but it's still really damn good. And I think a lot of people like the tone of this one.
Yeah.
Finally, check out thenerdsash.com for all sorts of news in the world of gaming, movies, television, and so much more. We also have guides, reviews, opinion pieces, lists, and other various types of content over there as well. Just like Discord, the link for thenerdstash.com is in the description of this very episode. Thank you to Michael for joining me. Thanks to anyone for listening in. We greatly appreciate it. Again, we have another episode that is either dropping, it's either going to be dropping alongside this one, or I might hold off until like a Monday or Tuesday to release it. I don't know. So we'll have another episode that's going to be dropping very soon on 11 games or game franchises that everyone should be thankful for. So if that sounds like something you'd want to listen to, please give us a view. We'd greatly appreciate that as well. Michael, we do have also one programming note before we get out of here. And that is we're going to be taking a 3-week break in December. So we have the 11 games everyone should be thankful for episode going out. We're going to have, I think, another news episode next week. And I believe if I were looking at our schedule correct here, we're going to be having the Game Awards recap the week after that news episode.
Ooh, we're going to be busy, busy.
So we have like 2 or 3 shows, I think, before we go on break. We're taking the end of December off, starting with the week of December 14th. So we're going to be taking 3 weeks off, and we'll be coming back at the start of January. But we still have a few episodes left, so I just wanted to say that right now. But other than that, anything you got to say, Michael, before we wrap up?
What? My teammate didn't have my back. I guess what I have to say. There's a shitty way to lose my last game as we end this show. I got shot in the back as I was interrogating an enemy. But that is all from me.
Damn, man. You went an entire episode without getting a single W. What? You are not representing Power Up in Game very well. That's all I'm saying.
I am multitasking. I am doing the most out of anybody on the show.
You actually are. That's the point. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. See you then.